Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Overnight America continues. A little past 11:07 now. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Or if you miss any part of the show, you can actually download the podcast absolutely free. It's at KMOX.com/overnight. Or get it on your favorite podcast app. Look at this letter I got in the mail today, Producer Mike. Notice there's no return stamp on it. It doesn't actually say where it came from. It's stamped over here. It says St. Louis, Missouri. Can't exactly tell. But the date on it is November 17th, 2018. It just got to me now. November 17th, 2018. You want to know why? Look where they sent it to. They sent it to One Memorial Drive. And the post office figured out KMOX is an at One Memorial Drive. It took them roughly 4 months to find it over here. So guess what was in this letter that was very important back in November 17th of 2018? It was a recipe for cupcakes. That's it. No name. It was printed on August 12th, 2018 at 11:25 in the morning. And its ingredients for, it says, put the social in ice cream social. Get your pals together and take turns shaking up a sweet treat in just 5 minutes. And it's basically like ice cream cupcakes. It took 4 months for this letter to get to me. It doesn't have a return name. I don't know who sent it to me. If you're listening to this right now and you sent me this letter, I finally got it. I finally got it in the mail. I can't believe it. I just thought that was fun. I wasn't exactly sure because I open it up and there's like a smiley sticker. Sometimes you don't know what you're opening up. It could be hate mail. Every once in a while we get hate mail. I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. I wonder why it took 4 months to get here. This could be a problem. But no, there it is. You know what today is? Well, not today, but Tuesday technically is National Pancake Day. There's a couple of places doing free pancakes, including IHOP. So March 12th, National Pancake Day. It says, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, IHOP leading the charge between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., giving away a free short stack of pancakes. And they're doing it as a fundraiser for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and Shriners Hospitals for Children. And this from the Delish website. But what I'm more interested in is what Nutella's doing. Do you like Nutella? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Oh, I think it's great. You think it's bad? Nutella is it's like a chocolate peanut butter nutmeg or something like that. There's a nutty flavor to it. So Nutella, apparently, if you ask your Alexa or Google Assistant to send me a sample of Nutella, they'll send it to your door. Just kind of cool. I wonder why they're using that on National Pancake Day. Do people put Nutella on pancakes? I don't know. That sounds weird to me too. There's one other food thing I wanted to bring up. This is fascinating. How much does it cost to go down to Disneyland? You want to schedule a nice vacation for your family. You got the young ones. They want to go see Mickey Mouse and Epcot Center and Space Mountain, and It's a Small World after all. And you want to be stuck in lines. You want people to be everywhere. It's supposed to be the happiest place in the world. Happiest place in the world. So you get down there. You spend thousands of dollars for tickets in lodging and food and transportation, all of these things. You got a family of four. You know, you're spending at least $5,000-$6,000 doing something like that, at least probably. And you get down there and you look and you say, oh man, I better get a nice meal while I'm here. Disney now offers mac and cheese trucks. Mac and cheese trucks. You ever go to a nice restaurant? It doesn't happen often with us. We normally go to the cheap and fast and easy places. I want to go to a place where I can order and it's not going to cost me $15 or $20 for a meal. Like, I'm not going to a lot of sit-down places as of late. You know, I'm more or less the Chick-fil-A's or the Jimmy John's is about as high class as I get when it comes to restaurants anymore. That's pretty high class. It's not cheap to go to those places, but you'll enjoy it a lot. It's like a step up from some of the other fast food options, but I'll go in there, or even if we decide to go someplace nice. To me, nice is like a Applebee's or a Texas Roadhouse or something like that. We take the kid and we sit down, and they have mac and cheese on the menu. It's like $10 mac and cheese, and you're thinking, I don't want to spend $10 on mac and cheese, but that's the only thing the kid wants. When he finds out there's mac and cheese, you're like, okay, fine, you get mac and cheese. I'm going to spend $10 for something I can go and microwave for you with one of those little cups for 50 cents, and you didn't get this. You'd probably eat as much, but instead I'm going to pay 10 bucks for it because we're sitting down at a restaurant. Fine. Whatever makes you happy. That's what I feel like. You go to Disneyland and you get mac and cheese. It's just so tempting for a kid. You're going to overspend on it. But they do these like fancy mac and cheeses down there. Let me tell you about this one. So the one they picture, it's mac and cheese with Cheetos on top. Let's see, six different types of cheeses topped with cheesy cheese puffs. It looks just like Cheetos. Another one's the bacon cheeseburger mac and cheese. Cheddar and American cheese with ground beef topped with bacon, shredded lettuce, tomatoes, sliced pickles, ketchup, mustard, and crispy potato sticks. What child is going to eat that? No child is going to eat that. Most children have a problem with their food touching. You're going to say, we're going to mix it all together, put it in a bowl, and give it to you? I mean, these are like adult foods. There's another one. It's the chicken parmesan mac and cheese. Alfredo sauce, fried chicken, marinara, parmesan, and basil. There's a seafood mac called the lobster and shrimp mac and cheese. It's just how it sounds. Swiss cheese is topped with crackers on there, too. Go to Disney, you get mac and cheese. I know it sounds good. It's just, to me, it's not Disney good. When I go to Disney, I want to get something else besides mac and cheese, right? You know, I want to get the Disney food. I'm sure it's delicious. I'm sure it's good. But it's like when I finally break down because I'm cheap. You know, I'm super cheap. And I actually go to a sit-down restaurant where you have to tip. You know, I finally go to one of those places. I don't like it when the kid orders. I don't like it when the kid actually orders mac and cheese. Because it's just like, I feel like I can do that for 50 cents.
You're a tightwad.
Yeah, I know. I knew that was coming. All right, so coming up this hour, do we need to mandate time off? Here in the United States, they did a little story about this, and it made me wonder, do we actually need to mandate that your employer gives you additional time off as if they were holidays? So instead of getting the national holidays off, just saying part of the agreement for you working at any place is that you get additional time off, and it's not counted against you when it comes to your vacation days. It's just a given. You get extra time off for vacation. Should we do that? Some pretty prominent names are saying we should. Joining us next, too, is Benji Backer. And I don't know if you know this, and we've had some issues here in St. Louis. A lot of our recyclables, we were shipping off to China to process. China said, we're done. We're not taking any more of it. So what happens to all of your recycling, even here in the St. Louis region? It's a big issue right now because we don't know where to put it all. So we're going to talk to him about that next on Overnight America KMOX.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120 KMOX. Depend on it.
And joining us now from the American Conservation Coalition, president and founder of the organization, Benji Backer. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
It's great to be on.
So when we're looking at the way we handle recycling in the United States, there's been a pretty major change that I don't know if many people know, that China was actually importing a lot of our recyclables. But just recently they said, we don't want to do that anymore, which has actually caused a problem here in the United States because we don't know what we're going to do with all these recyclable materials. Can you kind of explain China's role in our recyclables and what was the shift that caused them to want to stop taking it in?
Yeah, so we had sent a large percentage of our recyclables, especially from places that didn't have the technology and the availability to handle it themselves overseas. And one of the reasons that we ended up doing that, because we used to have a huge recycling business in the United States, one of the reasons that we started doing that was because it was actually cheaper than using the recycling facilities here. So in essence, we killed the recycling industries here and the people that were able to recycle here in the United States, except for in a few, you know, big cities that are still taking some of the recycling in their respective cities, and we turned it over to China. Now, that was fine and all until we realized that, A, they weren't recycling a lot of it, And B, they eventually decided that they didn't want to take it anymore. Hmm. And so about a year ago, they decided this isn't helping us. This isn't gaining any money for us. It's just a burden on us. And we're taking all your trash for a really low price, and it's really doing nothing for us. And so they ended up saying, we're not going to do it anymore. So it's caused a huge problem because we have kind of, like I said earlier, killed off the recycling industries here in the United States, and the market isn't the greatest for it because there are so few areas that do it themselves.
Mm. You know, is the price to recycle too high? Is that the reason why we were looking at exporting it to begin with? And is it even possible for us here to maybe reverse the trend and, I guess, take on more in the United States?
Well, the price was getting lower and lower and lower, as it does with most industries that are growing in the United States. But at the time, it was expensive. But now it's even more expensive than it was relatively then, because we don't have as many places that can take it here. And so there's a huge shortage of the supply for recycling facilities. And so that has actually raised the price now, which is funny, because before it was starting to get lower, but it was just cheaper in China. So now we're stuck with that dilemma where we went for the cheaper option, and now we have to move it back here, but it's super expensive because we don't have a huge market for it. But I will say we have the technology to make it fairly efficient and fairly cheap. It's just a matter of kind of re-catapulting that market, but it'll take a little bit.
Hmm. And there's no other countries that would be able to take on the load? There's no one else doing this?
No, especially to this capacity. I mean, if you look at just like the, Russia doesn't do it. You look at big countries are the only ones that are really going to be able to take it, and countries that are on the ocean, right? Because they have to be able to get it via ship. You're not going to, fly a bunch of trash across the ocean. So, and recycling. So it's really up to us now to figure it out. And honestly, we probably shouldn't have been relying on China in the first place for it. We rely on China for enough already. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I mean, as a country that, actually can show that we are reducing emissions and we are reducing, the impact that we're having on the environment, if we're not leading by example on something like recycling, then, I mean, what's it worth, right? So, I mean, A, there should be a market for it. It should be cheaper, and it will be in the future. But we also should be leading on it as a country.
Joining us is the president and founder of the American Conservation Coalition, Benji Backer. And I'm wondering, when did China actually stop? Because I don't think anyone really saw a disruption in their services. There's been some communities here in St. Louis at the end of last year, 2018, towards the end of the year, they started seeing some disruptions because they didn't know where they're going to send it. So this is all pretty recent, isn't it?
Yeah, so it happened last year. There's not like a specific day, but it was like, in the summer of last year was when it really started to hit. But the cities and municipalities and counties and states still were taking... still are and were then taking recycling. But what they're doing now with it is one of three things. They're either burning it, which is really bad, especially from the environment and the emissions that come from burning plastics. I mean, when you have a campfire, anybody who's ever had a campfire knows that you don't want to breathe in the fumes that come from plastic if you put something in there. I learned that as a young child.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's happening, which isn't good. Or it's being put in the landfill, which is probably the second worst option out of these three, but it's better than burning it. And then the last option is some local areas have started to use their own local recycling facilities or, put some money into that. But most cities haven't stopped recycling. There have been some that have because of it. Most are just trying to adapt, and they're doing it via one of those three ways.
Oh, so we might be overloading the system at this point, and maybe some of the overflow is what you see as being incinerated.
Exactly. And there's just a lot of cities that don't know what to do with it, so they're putting it in the landfill for the time being.
Yeah. Is there like a private sector equivalent to this as opposed to a government taking it? Like, is there a Elon Musk of recycling that says, I'm just going to build giant facilities and we'll find a way to do it?
I don't think there has been yet, to my knowledge, but I think if that's something where they're, again, and I've said this a couple times now, but there's a market for it, right? Like, cities need this. So if a large, a billionaire or a multimillionaire is able to come out and say, okay, we're going to start up some of these facilities, I think they'd actually make a lot of money from it, and it's what's needed. So I think that's something that probably will happen. If it doesn't happen from one or two large people like an Elon Musk, I think you're going to see more local areas, local business people say, hey, I'm going to start mine up for this area that I live in, because it is something that cities and municipalities need, and that need has to be fulfilled at some point. I think just most people are adjusting to this change and trying to figure out, okay, now that we're not sending it to China, what are we going to rely on? And I don't think enough people know that this is a problem where there's going to be a huge response from local people and wealthy individuals and people, business owners, to make, you know, make these types of changes in the marketplace yet.
So are there even government contracts being bidded on right now for people trying to figure out where to put this stuff, or is pretty much they're just overloading the system that they have in place? I'm wondering if the government is even trying to do anything right now to adjust to what China has done, or if they are just still trying to figure out what they're going to do next.
Well, the federal government hasn't done anything on it. I'm not exactly sure about some local and state governments, but I haven't heard anything there either. I think most areas are just kind of dealing with the problem as they see it currently. So they, like I said, are using one of those three options where it's being recycled via one of their local facilities. It's probably already there, or they're putting it in a landfill or burning it. Here in Seattle, where I'm at, they have a facility that they've been using for years, and I'm sure they've ramped that up since, you know, other areas in the Seattle metropolitan area have not been able to ship it overseas. So you're going to see facilities that are already built have a larger load, and I have heard about some cities across the country building facilities for it since this has happened. So I think you'll see more of that, but a lot of cities are just kind of taking it and not having any policies. And the federal policy should be better, too. I mean, you look, even before this happened, there were problems with recycling. Most people don't know that it has to be clean before they recycle things. Most people don't know exactly what can be recycled. You know, it's really complicated, and it actually varies city by city. So not only now do we have a lot of recycling that actually isn't being recycled because we can't ship it to China anymore, but a lot of recycling was thrown out to begin with because it wasn't good enough. You know, was it clean enough? It wasn't the right materials. And so one of the things that, you know, whether it be a federal, state, or local government has to do is make these things more clear and make it more streamlined so this can be impactful, because recycling can be impactful, but it's hard to do it the right way when it's not clear.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah, there's so much confusion. And I think people, when they look on their lids, like we have these stickers on the top of our recycling bins, and it shows, you know, a bunch of instructions of things they can't. We actually have two different recycling containers where I live. So you have one that's supposed to be certain types of recyclables and other ones that, and it's almost like you have to be well educated to figure it out, or you know you're going to do it wrong. And I like, if they could find a way to simplify it, man, I think that would turn a lot more people onto the process. Plus, I think that most people don't even know that they may be throwing things that can't be recycled into the recycling bin, thinking they're allowed to do it. And I'm sure that has caused a lot of problems on the sorting side, too. Maybe that has caused some of the backlog that they've seen. I don't know.
Completely agree, yeah. And a lot of those dirty containers and things that say they're recyclable, people will look at the packaging and say, hey, it says it can be recycled, I'm just going to recycle it. But they haven't cleaned it out, or they haven't, you know, torn off the plastic that's on it or whatever that needs to be done to make it recyclable. And it shouldn't be that hard for consumers, but also consumers should be able to, I mean, for somebody like me, so I work in the environmental space, and I actually love the fact that I can, like, I know these types of in-depth things about recycling, but it's not easy. It took me a really long time to figure it out, and also moving from a different city recently made it even harder. So, and this is somebody, you know, who works in the industry. Imagine, you know, just, you know, my family and friends and your family and friends. It's not easy. So it shouldn't take an educational course, you know, one day educational course to get this stuff right. You should be able to do it on your own.
I know. And I'm lazy like everyone else. I just want to put it in a bin and someone else takes care of it and pay that person
exactly
to take care of it. That's all I want to do. And we've talked to different recycling people here, and they said, you know, there's some things, once you learn some of the common sense things, that's a big majority of the problems that they run into. Like, yeah, you could recycle certain things, but think about how their machines work. Like, if you think you can recycle a garden hose, just think how easy that'll get tangled up in their equipment. So, you know, you don't recycle the garden hose. So, you know, just try to be a little bit conscious about the things that you're putting in there so it doesn't screw up their whole system. Well, so one last question for Benji Backer, American Conservation Coalition. If you were to run this for the United States government, you were to put a plan together, this is how we fix this, what would your big plan be?
Yeah, and I think that's a really difficult question because we don't know exactly how it's all going to work. But I think what I would try to do is really empower local leaders and local governments to take the reins on this and provide some sort of incentive for creating these types of programs that will eventually pay back. in the future. I think that that could be a possibility. I think incentivizing people who are business leaders, whether they're local or national business leaders, to do it. I think it's got to be a public-private partnership. Obviously, the government has control, whether it's state or local, on the recycling. But there's, I mean, there's got to be more of a marketplace involvement, because we've relied on the government so far on this. It hasn't worked out. So you've got to start looking to more market solutions and allowing more businesses to be created in this realm. But I also think that, you know, before we even get a policy, people need to know that this is a problem, and so that this is something that's demanded not only in the market but for legislation. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what sort of incentives or what sort of – it could be a market incentive or a government incentive. That would obviously be up for debate. But that's something where I think that there's got to be more involvement from all individuals, not just the local governments, but some of the local businesses themselves, and trying to create more innovative ways, because that not only will help finish or fix the problem currently, but it also decrease the price going forward and allow it to be more effective down the road.
All right, just came up with your million-dollar idea for you. So back in the grade school days, I'm sure you had Book It, where you would read books and you get pizza, Pizza Hut personal pan pizzas. If you do it right, you get a personal pan pizza from Pizza Hut. I tell you, I didn't like to read when I was in school, but man, you put a pizza on the line, I'm doing it. So, hey, maybe we can solve recycling by we make sure everyone knows there's a Recycle It campaign and you get a personal pan pizza at the end. Boom, solved. Everyone's in.
I'm down. As long as it's, I'd be good with some buffalo wings. That would be my
here. Substitute. Well, they'd offer wings there too now. See, this is, they don't do
That's
these
true.
Sort
Pizza
of fun
Hut's
things
got
anymore.
Wings.
Yeah. All right. So if people want to check out what you're doing at the American Conservation Coalition, where can they find you?
Yep. We're at acc.eco. So instead of .com, it's .eco. And then we're on social media at acc_national.
Benji Backers, the president and founder, American Conservation Coalition, acc.eco. Thank you so much for joining us here on KMOX.
Great to be on. Great discussion. Thanks.
And he joins us on the GL International Realty Guest Line. I'm glad he joined us there. I think that Book It idea, write it down. Don't discount that just yet. We got to take a quick break. Jay, hold on, Jay. Just in a few minutes, we'll get to you. We'll get to your weather next, too, on Overnight America, KMOX.
Joey Vitale here, and the St. Louis Blues are returning home to face St. Louis native Clayton Keller and the Arizona Coyotes in a Tuesday night battle. Pre-game show at 6:30 and the face-offs at 7 right here on your home for Blues hockey, KMOX.
Let's go Blues!
I think I may be onto something here. Let's do the recycling equivalent of Book It. Hey, you do it right, you get a personal pan pizza. Works for the kids. Do they still do Book It's? I hope they do. What a great program. I don't think Pizza Hut ever once gave a book away. Maybe they did. I don't know. I don't go there enough. Oh, Jay calling in. Hey, Jay, what's going on?
Yeah, hi. Recycling doesn't need, you don't need to be a PhD to recycle. It just takes, like I think you said in the last segment at the end, a little common sense. You don't throw the spaghetti plate in with the aluminum can or the plastic bottle. What kind of dumbbells can't recycle when it has a reduced hole in it? But yet I worked in a public situation, and I'd see that these guys either didn't bother, didn't care. You see it even at airports when they have different bins for waste or recycling, and it says multiple things for the recycling, cans and aluminum and plastic bottles. It just drives me crazy how poorly people do it. They don't seem to care. And if you ride a bicycle at all, you'll see plastic bags in all the gutters around an area or in the ditches. And I don't understand why the grocery stores push plastic bags. They're terrible. Only, I believe, 11% of them get recycled. 11%.
You can't even recycle the plastic bags, though. They don't want them.
No. I missed the first part of the show. Some places will take them. It's special. Well, even if you go to the grocery store, you'll see bins for recycled bags.
Mm. Yeah, I don't necessarily want to travel around with a bunch of old plastic bags. We have a nice little container in the house that we reuse them for when we're, packaging things up that we're going to throw away, but we don't want it to leak or whatever.
And there you go.
Yeah. But there's, I think the problem too, and Jay, you go through all of this trouble recycling. How does it make you feel knowing they're just throwing it in the landfill or incinerating it anyway and not recycling it because they have no place to put it? How does that make you feel?
Well, I'm very disappointed in that. And it sounded like the guy that you had, and again, I didn't catch the whole show, was very sincere and said, is that what he's saying, that is for sure going on right now?
It depends. Yeah, he says that a lot of these major cities mostly have their own recycling. So it depends on how overloaded they are right now, because some of these smaller areas outside of the major metropolitan areas, they have been shipping this to China, but China doesn't accept it anymore. And because of that, they've just been incinerating it or burning it or doing whatever because they have no other place to put it. And they don't have the recycling, the same structure set up that some cities do. So we even had that same issue here in St. Louis. I forgot what city it was, but it was in the county. And they don't have the same type of recycling deal that St. Louis City has. They didn't know where to send it to, and basically they were confused, and they were, you know, basically in the same situation all these other cities were. They're just going to have to put it in the landfill.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, that's an argument for better together, but that's another situation.
Oh, geez, Jay, the environmental argument for better together. I haven't heard that one yet. You may have been the first to bring that up now.
Well, they me on that, but you know, just a lot of common sense is needed. And another thing, people, you don't have to take plastic bags when you go out of the. What also drives me crazy is if you buy a milk carton, it's got a built-in handle. Yet I see people want milk cartons, plastic milk cartons, and they put them in bags, and then they got a double. They got to double the bag. It's got a handle built into the dang bag, into the dang cart.
You've got a lot of gripes against this.
I think it's an important subject. What about, and also, I heard today about the Missouri legislature is going to try to not allow a ban of plastic straws.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, people should refuse them. Why do you need a straw when you can drink a drink out of a cup? You don't need a straw. But now the fine Missouri legislature is going to stop local government, who they believe in normally, but they're going to stop them from passing ordinances to ban plastic straws. It's just crazy.
Oh, well, maybe to you it's crazy. People like straws. If they, you know, if they want them, they'll use them. That's just the thing. It's a personal preference.
Well, there is those straws can get stuck in an animal's throat. I've seen pictures of that, and plus, they're very hard to recycle. But they make paper straws. Don't you remember? Maybe I'm older than you. But I remember paper straws. They're much more environmentally friendly.
Yeah, I can't remember ever having a good experience with a paper straw. I've seen them. Sometimes they're like birthday parties and things.
Well, you only use it once, even with a plastic straw. Most people only use them once.
Maybe we should just endorse everyone get a silly straw, reuse it for the rest of their life.
Here you go. A metal straw would be great.
Oh, metal straw, too. No silly straw. We'll just do the metal straw. Everything will taste metallic every time we drink some. Imagine drinking some orange juice through that. Ugh, I don't know.
Well, we get our water through sometimes metal pipes, so why not?
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks, Jay.
Sure. Right, see ya.
We got Captain Planet that just called in, Jay. No, I like the plastic straws, and of course there's going to be uses for plastic straws. The biggest arguments being that, you know, if you have children, I don't want my kid to spill his drink on his shirt every time he's drinking something. So kids up to a certain age, obviously, it's a big advantage for them to have that straw. Or people that are disabled or just have a difficult time in general. Or maybe you're driving in a car and you got a soda or whatever. It's a lot easier to drink from a straw than, you know, bumping around with this thing going up against your face. So, yeah, people, if you want to ditch the plastic straw and if you want to bring your own metal straw everywhere and wash it out everywhere you go, by all means, go do it. You know, make it a personal preference. If someone wants the straw, give them the straw. Get them the straw. We don't have to turn it into California here. Things are crazy enough in California. What are we going to try to mimic? And by the way, the impact that these straws have, highly exaggerated. It's based on quantity, not weight or whatever. So yeah, these things get down there. I don't buy this, you know, an animal might choke on a straw, so we need to ban all straws in 50 states. I don't think that's a rational way of handling that. But then again, Even the metal containers. You ever had one of those metal reusable water containers? You fill it up and everything tastes weird out of it. It doesn't matter how many times you wash it. Everything always tastes weird out of it. I just don't like drinking out of metal. It's weird. The only thing that you're allowed to drink out of, remember those old thermoses and it had the cup on the top and you'd like pour the soup into the cup? That came out of metal. That was about the only thing I could think of that tasted fine outside of metal. Oh, boy. Well, that's fun. You know, I guess we could talk coffee, but probably not. You know, there was a story not that long ago. It just came out a few days ago. British billionaire Richard Branson was at a conference in Salt Lake City. Very popular. He has ties to St. Louis even. And he was talking about how we are way behind on the trends when it comes to vacation for employees. Is this something every employer should be mandated to give guaranteed extra vacation days to every one of their workers? This is what he's proposing. We're going to talk about that next on Overnight America KMOX. Great idea, producer Mike. Can I repeat that? Good idea. I had this loose bat in the house. Producer Mike came up with the best idea, which was I could have just shoved a straw in the bat's mouth. And then that way, two problems solved at once. Don't have to recycle the straw, and I get the bat out of the house. Perfect. Wow, great idea. What, not a good idea? You know, there was that old Glenn Beck bit. I don't know if it was in the early 2000s or whatever. He used to do this thing called Evil Conservative Industries. I don't know if he still does it or not. It's probably been, I don't know, 15 years since he's even uttered those words. But he'd sell like T-shirts and things. And he used to do these like little fake commercials saying that Evil Conservative Industries are against clean water and clean air. We're doing everything we can to pollute it. We cut down trees just for the fun of it. You know, We're going to ground up this and make it into that. You know, it was just really funny the way he would label this and real tongue-in-cheek to say a lot of times that's what is always the, you know, the Democrats try to paint that the conservatives are against clean air and clean water and all of this stuff. So that's what they might as well just lean into it and create these businesses to profit off of it. I thought it was a pretty funny little bit he used to do. That's fun. You know, there was a story in MarketWatch, but everyone's really covering this. Just recently, British billionaire Richard Branson came out and was speaking at a conference in Salt Lake City, and he was talking about how you should treat your workers and how in the United States, we don't treat them all that well because we don't give them guaranteed vacation time, regardless of, you know, if they're full-time, part-time, whatever it may be. So let's talk about this. If you're working somewhere, should your employer, regardless of how much time you put in, so you could be part-time, you could be full-time, you can just be a couple hours a week or whatever it is, you should get guaranteed paid vacation time. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I look at some of these other countries, and to make his point, he brings up the United Kingdom, France, Spain, Germany, Chile, South Korea, Australia, Japan, Israel, Canada, Mexico, just to kind of show you some of these different areas and how they handle this when it comes to days of annual leave and how much public holidays they have on top of that. Here in the United States, there's about 10 public holidays, and that's really the only time a worker would be compensated as time off. And this is in the United States. We're only talking about full-time workers. So Richard Branson, he heads the Virgin Group. So he's got the phones, the cell phones, the towers and things. He also does Virgin Galactic, which is space travel. And he's been working on that for a while, too. And he is someone that was here in St. Louis. They offered the challenge for the first person to privatize their way into space. So he launched it here and gave a big cash prize to anyone that could do it. And they made the announcement here because of course, Lindbergh and his ties to St. Louis. So Richard Branson was here for that big announcement some 20-some years ago. It was kind of cool. So he's familiar with the area, and he's someone that's always fascinated with trying to take things to the next level. According to the Center of Economic and Policy Research data cited by Quartz, private sector employees in the United States get an average of 16 paid days off per year, including public holidays. So 10 public holidays plus 6 vacation days. And this is what Richard Branson says. The amount of holiday that people get when they work for American companies, I think, is something of a disgrace. How are you going to find any real time with your children or your partner, real quality time, if you have really no holiday time? Now, do you think he makes a point here, or do you think this would pretty much be impossible to implement here in the United States because it would just be an incredible economic drain? 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. How do you even wage something like that? I'd love to talk to a business owner. If think about every employee you had right now, I'd just give an extra 6 vacation days to them. No questions asked. They can do whatever they want. And he goes even further. Like, here's Richard Branson. This is what he said. If somebody wants to take off 2 months, they can. If there's a wedding or a funeral, they don't have to ask. They can take the day off. How awful to work for a company that doesn't have massive loyalty from the people who work there. On the flip side, you know who also has that here in the United States, that type of policy, take as much time off as you want? Netflix. You know, the big streaming company that makes hand over fist, fist over hand, whatever that phrase is. They allow their workers to take off whenever they want. There's no real, you know, per se vacation time. But you can just take off. If you want to take a month off, you take a month off. If you want to take 2 months off, you take 2 months off. And that's it. I think one of the interesting parts to this is that I listened to someone that worked at Netflix tell their story of how it all works out. And the people that work for Netflix, they're too stressed out to take the time because they feel like if they're the ones that go away for a week, they're going to lose their job and they're going to get fired. Netflix is one of those companies that has no loyalty to their employees, period. It's a what have you done for me lately type of company. You could have been someone that revolutionized the service, and then a year later, they'll look at it and say, hey, you haven't done anything lately, so we're going to let you go. We'll get someone else in. Actually, it sounds like a terrible place to work. But they have this sort of implementation. You know what? Some of these other areas, like the United Kingdom, has 28 days of annual vacation leave. If you work for a company in the UK, you get 28 days of leave, plus an extra 9 public holidays, meaning a total of 37 days off in a year. That's more than a month. If you think about the work day, you know, 5 days a week or whatever, that's like 2 months or something like that, almost. That's insane to me. I got to say, I get a lot of time off. I'm lucky here at KMOX, just based on the way our agreement works. And since I've been here for 2 years... I get 4 weeks vacation, which is insane, but I don't get holidays off. So these 10 holidays or whatever, that doesn't apply to me. So basically, it's 2 weeks plus 2 extra to make up for the holidays, okay? But I got to come in and work all the holidays or whatever. I just have to request it off. It's a little bit different that way. When you get to Charlie, what a great deal he has. He doesn't work on Fridays, you know? When you've worked at a place long enough, you get those sort of privileges. Look at France, 25 days annual leave, 11 days public holidays. In Spain, 22 annual leave days and 14 public holidays. What's the most public holidays? Chile and South Korea both have 15 public holidays, with Spain coming in third. Oh, Japan gets 15 too. You say China? Is that what you said? I don't see China on this list. They don't mention it here. Oh, Japan. Oh, yeah, 15 for Japan. Then Israel has 10 public holidays and 11 annual leave days. Mexico has 6 annual leave days and 7 public holidays. So he looks at this. Richard Branson comes at it, looks at it a whole different way. But 11,000 attendees were at this Salt Lake City. You know who else was there? Some high-profile names that took stage to talk it to the gathering. Tell me if this doesn't sound pretty left-leaning of organizations. Barack Obama, Oprah Winfrey, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, what was he doing there? And many others. It says actor and tech investor Ashton Kutcher was there too. Does he still have an appeal? I guess good for him. He posts things on social media every once in a while. He is someone that has been posting things about some of these atrocities we're seeing with abortion in our country. So good for him to, I don't know what he says. But when I think about this, I think, I don't know what this would do. So here's 2 ways to look at this. This would be the way to pitch this sort of thing here in the United States. If you were to really try to make a push and you're someone that doesn't want to hurt the economy, you would say, here's the problem we're having right now. We have job openings. but we don't have enough people to take the jobs, okay? Or we're not filling them as fast. There's still like 7 million jobs that aren't filled. But then again, there are a lot of these jobs that don't pay so well. Minimum wage the way it is. What if you can say the compromise is, as opposed to raising minimum wage, and again, just bear with me for a second. Instead of raising minimum wage, we implement a way to make it so everyone that's working has the ability to get extra days off built in through a federal mandate. So as opposed to just certain people benefiting, as in people that are working a lot of, you know, burger places and things that would be mostly affected by this minimum wage, you make the conditions better for the people who do have jobs. Okay? Would that be a compromise? I don't know. I mean, I think there could be something there. And I think a lot of people would say, this is the way to make it. So maybe if wages are stagnant and you're not seeing that you're keeping up with inflation or whatever it is, and you're seeing that a lot of employers aren't giving the raises like they used to. However, we do see the economy growing, and we know that companies have more resources to put money into their own company. What if we reallocate it this way? We get more people, more jobs, because that way to bring more people in, because you'd have to hire some part-time work or whatever it is, that would get more people some cash in their pocket. You get more options. That might not actually be a bad deal. Forget about this raising the minimum wage thing. How about we just look at it this way? It's a thought. It's a thought. Coming up in the next hour, you want to talk about raising wages? The U.S. women's soccer team speaking out, and actually they filed a lawsuit. I want to talk about that coming up. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast. It's at KMOX.com/overnight or find it on your favorite podcast app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.